I believe God's word is true, everyone. Do you believe God's word is true? I believe every single word in it. I believe it from the beginning. In Genesis 1, it's going to be on your screen. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God said, let us. Who's he hanging with? Jesus and the Holy Spirit. He goes, hey, let's go make man in our image after our likeness. I would say we're blessed people to be made in the likeness of God, the Father and Holy Spirit. Well, how do you know that? It says so. And, wow, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, over everything on this earth. So God did what he said he was going to do in verse 27. He goes, hey, let us do that, verse 27. So he did it. Once again, he's not a man that he should lie. If he says he's going to do it, he's going to do it. We got to get it. We got to get a hold of that. If the word says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. You know what? The Bible says there's going to be a rapture of the church is going to take place. Well, I don't believe that. The word says it. If he said it, it's going to happen. So in the image of God, he created them, male and female. There's no new models coming out, anybody. It's male and female. Those are the only two choices you got. Why am I saying this? Because even in the church, they're having a discussion. Well, maybe not. No, the Bible's true or it's not. It's all true. Male, female. Male, female. No new options. Verse 28. And God blessed them. He highly favored them. In the Hebrew, it says he breathed on them. The breath of life. Genesis 2:9. Blessed, breathe, put it in. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. He's saying, you are created in my image. Now go replicate people who look just like me in my image. No, he's talking about babies there. No, he's not. He's saying, everyone who comes after you, you replicate them into my likeness. Tell them who I am. That's what he's talking about. We're going to go to that second. So from the beginning of the creation, God blessed you and I. He blessed us. He said so. I bless you. You're highly favored. Wow. Did you know that? In the Old Testament, it's a natural, right? He created us. In the New Testament, we are a new creature in Christ because sin entered in. When we are a new creature, the moment we're in agreement with his atoning, what he did at the cross, the moment we did that, guess what? We're a new creature in Christ and highly favored now are you. The moment we're in agreement and say, you know what, I believe that the work that you did on the cross, I believe that you died for my sins. I believe there's no other way to heaven but through you and the atoning work that you did on the cross. Boom, highly favored. Now are you, Grant Williams? Highly favored are you. So the cross provided a way, and we see the foreshadowing of that in the beginning of time in Genesis. See, the revelation of what was taking place all throughout the Word, it started in Genesis, and there was a progressive revelation all along the way. Even Jesus said, there's so much more I could tell you, but you couldn't even understand what I'm telling you. So here we are after Adam sinned. Do you know Adam sinned, everyone? Adam sinned. But, God loves us so much. He's so angry at all the sin. He goes, I'm going to wipe it all out. But he said, I'm going to make a way for you. And that was in Genesis chapter 6. There was an ark that was being constructed. An ark. And the Bible said that judgment was going to come upon the earth. And to prevent the water from coming in, anyone who wanted to come into that ark could be saved. Why? Because highly favored are you. Anybody who wants to come into the ark, it's open. Interesting enough, the Bible says they put pitch all over the ark. That pitch was to hermetically seal it from the water or the judgment from coming in. That same word pitch in the Hebrew, in the Greek, it's called atone. In the New Testament, it's atoning. The blood of Jesus Christ hermetically seals us from our old sin, where God doesn't even see it. So when judgment comes, we are protected from his judgment. All I have to do is walk into it. All I have to do is come into agreement with what Jesus did on the cross, the atoning for my sins, and I be obedient unto his word. That's it. So is it just about saying a prayer? No, 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 no. It's agreeing with it, and by agreeing it, my life lives like it. Oh, it's a totally different way of living. So as a result of what Jesus would do on the cross, we saw foreshadowing of that happen with the ark. So this is what happened after those who came into the ark, after those who wanted salvation to be saved. This is what Jesus did in Genesis 9 now. It's on the screen. So now God blessed Noah. He blessed, highly favored are you. Why? Because you wanted to be saved by me. You were obedient. You wanted to be saved. So he blessed him, his three sons, and the four wives. So eight of them. Only eight. But what happened to those eight? They were blessed. What was the directions to blessed people? The directions to blessed people were now to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Well, there's only eight of them. Of course he wants to. No, no, no. God just doesn't want you to have babies. He wants you to replicate and have blessings. He says, I've blessed you to go be a blessing, to go share with them who I am. I am the Savior. I'm the one who created the ark. I'm the one who made a way for you. Everyone get this? You look at me like, I don't understand. Yes, I think you do. The fear and the dread of you, verse 2, shall be upon every beast of the earth, upon every fowl of the air, upon all things that move upon the earth, upon all the fish of the sea, into your hands shall they be delivered. Every moving thing, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, shall be meat for you. I love that. I love that. Let's just think about that. Let's just ponder that. Let's just take some time out. You know, the Bible is a continuing revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Ever since the beginning of time, before Adam and Eve were created, the good news was always there. The good news of the cross, it's always there. We see it all throughout the Old Testament. But what we need, see, there's information in the Bible. But without the application of the information, there's no revelation. Without revelation, there can be no transformation. I could get up here and quote scripture all day long, but if there's no application for it, what good is it to you and I? That's why he blessed you with preachers and teachers. That's why he blessed. Some of our jobs is to have the anointing to go say, this is what the word is saying. Now that's information, that's great, but here's the application of this is how I use it in my life. Oh, I didn't know that. Revelation occurs. Boom, transformation. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Holy Spirit's going to come along to help you when you renew that mind to give you, say, this is what I'm talking about here. That's what the Holy Spirit's going to do. He's going to remind you of those things. He's going to convict you. He's going to remind you of the promises in God's word. But there can't be that transformation without the revelation of God's word. Revelation of God's word. See, it's hard to have revelation of God's word if you don't know God's word. How do you know something that you don't know? Well, this is what I think. It doesn't matter what you think. It matters what's in here. This is what God thinks. Well, this is what I think. It doesn't matter. You don't come into the ark what you think. Because if I didn't think it was going to rain, I didn't go in the ark. It doesn't matter. I have to think, not that it's just going to rain, I have to think that the ark is going to save me. I have to think, you know what? There's judgment coming and only Jesus Christ can save me. Then the blessing of the Lord comes upon me. That's what the Bible says. And if you love me, you keep my commands, John 14, 15. If you love me. Well, no, I love Jesus my own way. You can't. There's only one way to the Father, and that's Jesus. Well, no, I love Jesus. No, you have to keep his commands in order to love him. It's not just with your words, it's your actions, everyone. It's with your actions. We have two blessings now that we worked on that we know we were created in his image so we can do the things that he did. We also have a blessing of salvation. We know he saved not just in the Old, but we saved in the New Testament. We have that prophetic promise. But we also have the promise of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to guide us. And when our feelings get a little off of God's word, has anyone's feelings been contrary to what this says? Anyone? Come on. You don't even feel like raising your hand. Okay, so this right here, this is not a feeling. When I do what is right, my feelings line up with this. My old carnal natural self, that's what the Bible keeps over and over. Old and New Testament said, put away the old man, put away the old man. He used to be like this. Boom, boom, boom. I have to be on this. So that's why the Holy Spirit's come. Here we go. John 20, verse 18. John chapter 20. Promise Holy Spirit. Mary Magdalene. Now, Jesus just died, but he rose again as he said he would, as he promised. I'm going to make man in my image, and guess what? I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise up 3 days later. This already happened. So Mary Magdalene then came and told the disciples, hey, Jesus is, he's not there. But he had spoken to her, and she says, he spoke to me, and here's the things. Verse 19, the same day and evening, first day of the week, when the doors were shut, the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. They were fear. So John the Baptist came. Little background, John the Baptist came. He was baptizing all these Jewish people as a forerunner of Christ. He was saying, hey, there's a man who's coming. There's the Messiah. He's coming. And here's the new way of living. He's baptizing people. And these people are, the Jewish people, their families are disowning them. Their families want to kill them. It was a big deal to be water baptized back then. It means I'm totally repenting. I'm doing a 180 from what I used to believe and how I used to act. That's what baptism, people were dying because of their baptisms. It's a huge deal. Should be a huge deal today, too. Should be a huge deal, what we're representing, what we're saying. But here is, all these disciples knew it. It's like, this is, okay, I know we're feeling a lot of heat, but as long as Jesus was here, everything seems to be cool. Now that Jesus is dead, who's going to help them? Right? This is why they were full of fear. Because now, it wasn't just the government, it was the synagogue, the Pharisees. Everyone was out to get them now. There was no protection. Jesus wasn't there anymore. When you think Jesus isn't there, you become full of fear, don't you? Jesus, why aren't you helping me? You just had an anxiety-filled moment, a worried-filled moment, a fearful moment. But the Word never left. The Word is always here, everyone. Jesus is the Word, John 1:14. The Word became flesh, John 1:1. He is the Word, right? This is the Word. It never left. It never leaves you. It never forsakes you. This doesn't leave. We just don't pick it up to read it. Holy Spirit can't remind us of anything if we don't read it. So they feared the Jews. In comes Jesus and stood in their midst and said, peace. I love that. I'm freaking out. Everyone's out to kill me. Peace. Is it that simple? Yeah. One word from God. You open up that Bible, boom, peace. So what am I, you're saying what I'm worried about right now, it's going to be fine? Peace. You mean you're going to fix it? I said, peace. You mean I get what I want? No, I said peace. Regardless of what's happening, I will give you peace. That's what he promised. And when he said this in verse 20, he showed them his hands and his side. That's me, you guys. I'm not dead. His disciples then were glad when they saw the Lord. They were in fear. But then they realized Jesus was still alive, that the Word was still powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. It was alive, it was powerful, active in Hebrew. They saw that, and all of a sudden, their feelings changed. Because their old way of thinking, wait, Jesus is still on this, oh, wait, Jesus is still alive? Oh, then everything's okay. You know, we have to renew our mind to that every single day. How do I know that? Because I have to do it myself. Oh, no, I bet you just float around and just quote the scriptures all the time. No! That's why I have to know the Bible. Because the Holy Spirit's going to remind me. He goes, hey, Grant, stop. You're not thinking straight. You're not talking straight. Your feelings aren't lining up with the Word. If you start doing what is right, your feelings will change. So Jesus said, uh-oh, here we go. Verse 21, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, now I send you. What's he talking about? Go replicate, be fruitful, and multiply. I bless you now. Wait, where does it say that? Oh, next verse. And when he said this, he breathed on them, which in the Greek means blessed. The breath of life in the Old Testament has now the breath of his Spirit in the New. Because we're a new creature in Christ. So the breath of his Spirit now has our sin, boom, the spirit man is now breathed in and you are blessed. Now go receive the Holy Ghost. That's an Acts. Find that later. But Thomas, verse 24, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Except I see his hands and print of his nails and put my finger in the print of his nails and thrust my hand, I will not believe. Unless I see it myself." I love people like that. "Hey, trust me, trust me, trust me, this thing works. Until I see it work, I don't believe you." These are people he'd been with. They're going to lie to him? "Hey, I just saw Jesus." Kidding. "No, we saw him." He goes, "I don't believe you guys until I see it." 8 days, his disciples were, and Thomas was with them, and Jesus came. This time, the doors were shut. Before, they weren't. Jesus walked in the door. Now, Thomas, he knew, you know, that Thomas wasn't called Doubting Thomas until he doubted. Thomas doesn't mean doubt, it just, but he became a Doubting Thomas. So Jesus said, "You know what? This guy, I got to walk through the wall for him. He needs a little help." He walked through the door, walked through the wall. And he said, "Now you reach forward, pull my hands, thrust it into my side. Stop being faithless, but be believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord, my God." He goes, sorry. Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because you've seen me, you believed, but blessed, highly favored are those who have not seen and yet believe." Can't get lost on this thing now. Jesus is the word. There's promises in this word. Blessed are those who believe this word and haven't seen it yet come to manifesting in front of them yet. Grant peace. "I don't have peace. Trust me, I got this. I don't see it." You faithless, I'm still going to do it for you, but you're going to have a lot of fear and anxiety and worry until it happens. God never called us to be full of fear. That's not from God. It's not from God. Verse 31. "These things are written." Sounds like there's something written down. I think it's here. "So that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." Life. Where do I get that life from? From when he breathed on me, which is also called blessing. The word is there for when you read it and take it in, it is the breath of life, and it's blessing you and highly favoring you to restore that which you've been taken away from you. Well, that was good. I'll put applause in there later. I'll edit that in. The disciples were very fearful of their situation. But so Jesus had to show himself. He did exactly what he said he was going to do. "Now do you believe me? Now do you believe me? Blessed are those who believe even before it takes place." Now, the wisest man ever, Bible says so, King Solomon. King Solomon didn't say, "I'm the wisest person ever." No, the Bible says he's the wisest person ever. 1 Kings. Proverbs 10:22, "The wisest man ever said, the blessing of the Lord it maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow with it." The Amplified, "The blessing of the Lord, highly favored are you who want to come into the salvation of me, and it will make you rich, and I will add no sorrow, no toil, no fear, no worry, no anxiety with it." Let me say that again. Blessed by the Lord, taking in his word, it makes you rich, believing his word. God doesn't add fear, doesn't add anxiety, and he doesn't add toiling or sweating things out. He doesn't add that to being in the blessing. Rich, what does rich mean? A lot of people think rich just means money. No, rich means rich in relationships, health, and finances. I'm not a big sweet eater, but I do like frosting. Anyone like frosting? I mean, who cares about the cake? I want frosting. And I don't like any frosting. Any frosting that says rich. I want it so rich that I have to drink a gallon of milk with each bite that I have. You guys know what I'm talking about. The Bible is saying here, it's not the quantity of stuff that you have. It's the richness of the friendships that you have. Oh, wait, it says that? Yeah. Because our carnal mind and false teaching will tell you rich is based upon money. It's not wrong to have money. It's wrong to think you're blessed because you have it. You have it because you're blessed. Oh, I'm blessed. I got 47 children and 10 million. You're not blessed because then the world would be blessed based upon their outside appearance. But God looks on the inside, man looks on the outside. You're not rich because you're blessed. You're blessed because you're rich. You're not rich on your own self. People look, well, I'm blessed because I'm rich. No, you're rich because you're blessed. You're rich in all areas of your life. Rich defined means you'll have plenty. Abundant, ample, generous, and bountiful. I've heard people say all the time, well, that gospel's just not true. Look at the people over in Africa, and they don't have any. God will supply all their needs. He'll supply their needs. Our needs are different wherever you go, right? I didn't need a winter coat in Florida. God, where's my winter coat? Grant, you don't need one. But I want 5 coats. I love coats, God. You don't need one. You're asking for something that you don't need. It's what you want. I'll preach. It is the blessing that makes you rich. Riches don't make you blessed. Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and everything shall be added unto you. Everything. There's a popular verse in the preceding 9 verses, Matthew 24 through 32 on this. I'm not going to go for time's sake. But we like to leave that, oh, yes, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things. What are things? All your needs, relationally, physically, all that stuff. Does it mean I'll have perfect health? Doesn't mean you'll have perfect health. It says I'll give you all the health that you need to the plan that I have for you. Well, I want perfect health. I'm telling you right now, you know the reason my knees hurt today is because I had perfect health when I was 20, and I did things when I was 20 that caused me to hurt when I'm 47. If you felt like you did when you were 20, you would go hurt yourself. God says, I don't need you to do that anymore. I'm 47. I don't want to play tackle football in the street anymore. God, give me the body I had when I was 20. No, you don't need it. I've given you wisdom. But we do get new bodies, everyone, just so you know. I get Arnold Schwarzenegger's. But everybody, yeah, you're getting in line. Get in line. I've already asked God for that. Matthew 24, in those verses, preceding 9 verses, seek first the kingdom of God. It talks about serving 2 masters. It says you can't serve 2 masters, or you can't go naturally. You can't think, I want this, I want this, I want this, but then say, but I want this and this and this for the kingdom of God. It says you can't do both. You can't serve 2 masters because eventually you're going to leave one out. And guess what? The more you chase the natural man, God's gone. He's left out. And that's vital information because Jesus said, the Gentiles used to do this. It's not talking about non-Jewish people. He's talking about sinners in the New Testament. Your old sinful, your old nature used to want those things that would make you happy. You know what? If my kids just went to this college, if my kids would just cut their hair like this, oh my goodness, I can't believe they have long hair. I can't believe they have short hair. Why did my son cut his hair? It looks so good that way, right? Everybody? Oh, if they were just married, oh, I can't stand my daughter-in-law. Oh, I love my son-in-law. If she could just married something like that. Oh my goodness, my house. If my husband wouldn't have sold my house in 2008 when the market was down, we could have been so much more. Stop serving 2 masters. The blessing of the Lord make you rich. You're married. Other people go, man, I would love a husband to get mad at right now. Can't get lost in the way this world thinks, everyone. This world says, I want what I want, I want it now, I'm tired of waiting. And that brings no peace. When you're tired of waiting, it brings no peace. John 10:10 said, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. What does abundant mean? Rich. Rich means abundant. Proverbs 10:22. I've come so your life would be more rich. So you wouldn't have to think about, I need this, this, this. No, enjoy your family. Enjoy your friends. Enjoy what I've given you. Enjoy the cars I have. Well, no, it's not wrong to have more cars, everyone. It's wrong to think you're not blessed because you don't have more. It's going to hit you in a minute. It's going to be fine. Has anyone ever thought to themselves, I don't feel blessed though right now? Anyone? Come on. Wow. This is the wrong sermon then. Okay. You guys are timid. I understand that. We've all gone through it with God. Everything's perfect except for this one thing. If my husband would just dress the way I wanted him to. Oh. And we start looking back at all those things that used to upset us, and it just seems very childish, doesn't it? It's like, really? You just wanted one more bedroom? That was your thing in life? Yes, because once every 2 years, my family comes into town. If we could just put that $40,000 addition to have them there instead of giving them $150 to stay in a hotel, that would make it right. See, those feelings of not being blessed are natural. Those are your old nature self thinking that way. Jesus said in John 6:63, it's the spirit or it's the word that quickeneth. It gives you life. The flesh, your natural feelings, your old carnal way of thinking, it profits you nothing. I'm thinking, I need to eat that. He goes, no, read my word. No, I supply your needs and I tell you what you want, but I want it now. Well, then you're going to do things outside of my word to go get it. And then I can't use you. You're going to walk outside of the blessing because the blessing means you're highly favored. You're into my salvation. You're obedient unto my word, which is you love me, but you want to do something totally. You want to go chase something I never told you to chase. And now you're missing out on the richness of your family. But if I could just make $150,000 a year, my whole family would love me. So I'm going to work 80 hours a week and not see my family in order that they may love me. No, they would love you if you spent more time with them. See how the carnal man, he can twist things and make it seem like you're doing what is right, but you're really not. The Bible says in Philippians 4:8 to think about what is true, pure, and lovely. Bible also talks about speak life and speak death. See, when you don't get what you want, typically we speak death over a situation. This job stinks. Why? Because if I just made $100 more a week, I don't know, spend $100 less. I never thought of that. Paul said, Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to this world. This age, fashioned anymore after its external, superficial customs, be transformed and changed by the renewal of your mind. What are you renewing your mind to? The Word. Renew your mind. Stop being transformed by what the world is saying, and get back onto this. Paul told the church in Ephesus, strip yourself of your former nature. Strip yourself of your former nature. Stop acting like it. Stop it. Put off, discard your old, unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life, which was corrupt. But that's what my person wants. No, that's not. That's what you want. Your carnal man wants that, but that's not what you need. It's not what you need. Luke chapter 5. That's where our text is today. Luke chapter 5. All of that just for the setup of 9 verses. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. Here he is. All throughout the New Testament, there's a lot to do with water and boats, don't you think? Everyone went on a boat. Hey, I got to go speak. Launch me out in a boat. Got to get to the other side. Hop in a boat. Got to go fishing. Hop in a boat. While you're in the boat, what happens in the boat? Storms come. Jesus walks to you on the water. Why? The water is the picture of our lives. We have to go places in life. We get in a boat, then the water starts rocking. Our life starts getting kind of crazy. What do? We just hang on to the sides and go, oh boy, I wish my life was a lot better than it is now. Stop it. Jesus walked out into the water. Boom. Chill, everybody. He was in the boat. Peace, be still. There he is again. Peace. Peace, be still. A lot of things happen in these boats. Luke 5. Came to pass, as the people pressed upon him, Jesus, to hear the word, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, or Galilee. He saw two ships standing there by the lake, just sitting in the shallow waters, and the fishermen were gone out of them, washing their nets. They were done. Fun, fishing all night, done. Jesus entered one of those ships, which was Peter's, or Simon's, and he prayed him, or requested. He said, push me out a little bit. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. So there's two ships sitting there. He goes, hey, Peter, just push one out a little bit with me sitting in it, and I'll sit out there. I'll amplify myself on the water. That's how they spoke back then. That's boom. They used the natural amplification and the banks for people to hear him. That's all Jesus asked them to do. Now, when he had left speaking, when he was done, he said unto Peter, remember, they're all done now. They're done fishing. Go launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. What does a draught mean? A haul. Interesting enough, in the Greek it means blessing. They were done fishing. We know that because the boats were up here on the side. And he said, now, why don't you go out there and go throw your net? Let down your what? Nets. Plural. Everyone see that? Let down your nets. Statement of faith. It's a statement of faith now. Go do it. Peter could say, am I going to do this or not? You know, I don't know. Jesus was a carpenter. You guys remember that? He's a carpenter. He was a preacher, right? Bible says so. Preacher, but he was a carpenter. Peter was a fisherman. I don't know about you, but if someone doesn't do anything trade-wise that I do, I don't like them telling me what to do. Right? I mean, it's really? You're going to tell me how to do this? Really? Really? Don't you love when someone just walks up to you? Let's say you're doing something in your yard, painting something. I don't know, it doesn't matter. Decorating your house, someone comes over and goes, oh, I would have never done it that way. Really? Where do you live? Well, I don't have a house, but I would not do it that way if I did. Okay? No one likes to be told by someone else, especially if they're not in that, what to go do. Here's Jesus. Go on. Throw your nets down. See, God's blessing upon us is working whether you want to believe it or not. Whether you believe it or not, God's blessing you. Right now, he's blessing you. Peter, looking at him like, what are you talking about? Right now, you have blessings that you even can't identify because you're so frustrated, angry, confused, full of fear, doubt, thinking that God has left you, thinking that God is dead. And thinking that his word is not alive anymore. Remember in Genesis 9:2, the fear and the dread shall be upon you. Go take dominion over it. Important you understand that because Jesus said, launch out in the deep and let down your nets. It's plural. Nets. I'm telling you, go do this. Do it in abundance because something's getting ready to happen. Luke 5, so Simon Peter, answering, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night. We've worked it. We worked all night. We sweated. We're trying to get fish. And they didn't get anything. I've already tried. It doesn't work. Trust me. Jesus, trust me. It doesn't work. Interesting, all those disciples, you know that they knew the Bible? Those disciples, at age 19, 20, they all knew the Bible. They grew it up in the synagogues. They knew the stuff. They walked around with Jesus. He was a living Bible, and Jesus quoted the Old Testament all the time. They knew the Bible. How do I know that? And the book of Acts, when they're all filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter said, oh, this is that spoken of in Joel. Oh, this was spoken of in, this is what happened in Isaiah. This was, they knew the word. They knew it. But he's saying, we're full of fear. We're done. There's not happening this. There's no blessing here. Trust me, Jesus. But you know what? It says if you are with Christ, then you have the same blessing as Abraham. That's Bible. That's Bible. In Galatians, even says, cursed is the one who's on the tree, Jesus Christ, so that the blessing of Abraham would come upon you. In Isaiah, he says there's going to be one that's going to come. He's going to bear all your grief and your sorrow. That's Old and New Testament. They're reminding each other of, listen, the grief and sorrow that you're feeling, boom, Jesus bore that for you. Why? Because he's blessing you, and there's stuff all around you. You're just not looking at it. You're so miserable because of the one thing in your life is not good that you're missing out on the 99. And he says, man, he goes, I'm telling you what you're going through. Jesus died for that. Everything, you don't stop worrying about that. Stop worrying about this. It's all been taken care of so that the blessing of Abraham, and if you are with Christ, then you have the blessing of Abraham upon you. Luke 5, back to Luke 5, 5. We've toiled all night and we have taken nothing. Nevertheless, I love that. I love the King James, nevertheless. I use that all the time in my language. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the what? Net. Not the nets. Jesus, you don't really know what you're talking about. I've cleaned all of the nets already. Cleaned them all. This is what they were doing. It's at the end of the fishing time. They're done. I'm not going to, fine. I'll throw a net out. Now, if you have kids, I remember fondly my kids in high school. And during high school, there's emotions. As I saw these kids up here, I was reminding my kids when they graduate. In high school, I would say from age, depends, guys are a little bit different, girls, the age stages. But I would say age 13 through 18, their emotions are kind of like this. Life is great. I got a zit. Kill me. How you doing today? Oh, it's great. We're having a sleepover. Hey, aren't you going to sleep over? No, I don't like the movie that they're watching. I hate my life. I remember the kids, hey, having a bad day. You know what? Your mom and I are going to go out to eat tonight. You guys want to come? It's your favorite restaurant. How can we coax you to go out to eat with us? I look back at that, and I don't do that anymore. But back then, they don't want to go. It's cheaper. Okay, so... And we eat much nicer places. Okay, so I don't have to coax them. It's like, can you guys want to go out to eat with us? Please, please go out to eat with us. Fine. So they go out to eat. Their attitude stinks the whole time. I just paid $50 for that steak that you're eating right there. And you're going to be miserable? What? I came, didn't I? That's called putting a net in when I asked you for the nets. I ask for all of you. I ask for you not just to partake of the blessing that I want to give you. I'm saying come be a part of the richness of our family. Enjoy. Let's celebrate the blessings of God. And you're saying, fine, I don't trust you that it's going to be a good time. I don't really care that you're providing a meal. I could eat Taco Bell. And we could just do that if we wanted to. See how your attitude, your feelings can rob you of the richness of the blessing that you could be partaking of. Peter didn't want to hear it. It's not worth it. It's not going to be worth it. I'll just throw a net in. Nevertheless, because it's you, I'll do it. I'll do it because it's you. It's going to be bad for Peter. It's a toil-based decision based upon aggravation. Fine, I have to go do this net. Now if I have to go help, now I have to do this. I have to do this. I just... Luke 5, 6. But when he put the net in, when this was done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. Okay. He threw in a net. Fine, I'll see if this is really what you... In the Greek, I'm not kidding you, the Greek, it said they jumped into the net. I threw my net down, and fish actually swam into the net. They are up all night. The Sea of Galilee is very clear. Sea of Galilee is very clear. You can see a net. The fish weren't confused and go, oh, safety. They saw the net, And God, along with you, has dominion over every single thing that fishes and swims on the land that creepeth upon this earth. He commanded the fish, go be a blessing to Peter. He commanded the fish, go be a blessing to him. It broke the net. It was such a, wait, the richness of his blessing is an abundance. It's abundance. That's what the word says. It's an abundance. I love this story. Verse 7, he beckoned unto their partners. I love this. There's more boats out there. See, how you respond and how you react in your life, do you know how people are watching you? Yeah, I wish the kids would hurry up and get out of the house so I can be myself. I just have to fake it all the time that Jesus is okay and I'm okay with everything. Oh, got to go to work and people are going to want to know what happened and I have to tell them. And listen, Jesus is for you. He's not against you. Just because things aren't going perfect in your life doesn't mean there's not blessing on your life. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. He adds no sorrow to it. Okay, I'm going to get ahead of myself. He beckoned unto his partners, which were in the other ship, so that they would come and help. They came, and they filled both ships to the point where the boats began to sink. The blessing is just not for you. The blessing is for you to bless other people. Wasn't the response I was looking for. God's blessing on you is not just for you, it's to bless other people. God sees how you respond. God sees how you're acting, and so do other people. Do I want to be replicated? Do I want to act like that person? Because the Bible says to be fruitful and multiply, but if you don't even care about the blessing God has given you, who wants to be like you? Oh, I love the Debbie Downer type of people in my life. Oh, everything's miserable. Everything. Hey, how's everything? I heard you just won the lotto. Yeah, but now I got to go pick up the check. Hey, I heard you got a new car. The gas mileage is terrible. But didn't you pick it out? Yes. Ooh, can't stand those type of people. I'm not looking for fake. I'm looking for people who walk in God's blessing, who focus on that what God has given them to be a blessing. It was so much, it began to sink. See, God positions us to not just for us to be blessed, but to put us in a position to bless other people. Most people think, well, I'm stuck. I'm out in my boat, and I'm stuck. Nothing's going on. I hate my life. You're not stuck, you're positioned. What are you positioned to do? Drop your nets down to get a haul, which is a blessing from God. Wherever your boat is, you're not stuck, you're positioned to take a blessing. Wherever you go, wherever you find yourself, God's got a blessing there for you. You're just looking at it the wrong way. Which way am I looking at? Your old carnal natured way. Renew your mind. Focus on what's true, pure, and lovely. You were once like that in the book of Romans. In the church of Ephesus, stop putting away. Put away the old man. Start thinking, look all around you. Open up your eyes. Elijah said in Kings, he said, open up my servant's eyes so he can see what's really going on. May we not be carnal in our nature because we can't serve two masters in Matthew. Because if we want to serve mammon or our carnal way, we'll always look to bless ourselves as opposed to God, how you want to bless me today. I'm going to go where you want me to go, and I know you'll give me more than enough to take me there. Verse 8, when this happened, Simon Peter, he saw all the blessing, and he fell down at Jesus' knees. Everywhere in the Bible, everywhere throughout the New Testament, they always fell at Jesus' feet. Here they fell at his knees. Why? There were so many fish in the boat. He bowed down to worship Jesus. Their fish were filling the boat. He couldn't even bend down. The blessing was so great, he couldn't even get down enough. Do you guys understand how God is blessing you and I? He's blessed us by making us in his image. He's blessed us by giving us salvation, that we will have eternal life through him if we just walk in it, walk in his ways, be obedient. And he's blessed us with the Holy Spirit who will guide us and give us comfort in those times when we don't think we have the blessing. And he's reminding us, oh, Grant, you're walking in the blessing right now. You just need to open up your eyes like Elijah told the servant. And it's all around you. God's blessing is all over you. Stop letting the frustrations, stop letting the anger, stop letting the I want it now mentality ruin that where God has placed you. Verse 9, and he was astonished, and they were all with him. I'm sorry, verse 8. He said, depart from me, I'm a sinful man, Lord. Peter recognized that he was wrong in not worshiping God for the blessings that he had. In verse 9, he was astonished at all that were with him, at the draught or the hall or the blessing that had been given. Our toiling, our frustrations, our doubts, they can rob us of seeing the blessing that's right in front of us. The blessing of family, friends, our job, house, apartment, wherever you live, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. Missionaries overseas, oh, I could never do that. Sure you could. If you're walking in God's anointing, he called you to do it, it'd be more than enough. It's more than enough. God positioned you. God positions you in places where he goes, I made you like this. I made you like this. You're going to go be a blessing unto people. How do I know that? Because the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. And he adds no sorrow with it. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand this morning. Say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Say one more time, I'm blessed. And I'm made to bless others. Zechariah 8:13 promised God's people and said, so I'm going to save you and ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. He saved you, he blessed you for you to be a blessing. But look at my life. Seriously? Well, Pastor, your life might be better than mine right now. I'm not saying it is. I'm not saying it's not. I'm saying that Jesus is more than enough. How can you say that? Because his word says so. But he's not enough because you were thinking like the old carnal man. If you need a job today, he's going to bless you with a job. Why? Because he knows you need a place to go bring the blessing. Well, no, I need money. No, you need to bring the blessing. He created you to bring the blessing. He didn't create you to make money. Well, I don't want to hear that. You need to hear it. Because if you think you're created to make money, you're thinking like the old nature, the old carnal man. Well, you don't understand. I need money. He created us to be a blessing to people. He gave you the job to go be a blessing at that job. He gave you friends to go be a blessing to your friends. That's it. Well, I don't like my friends. You chose them. You draw people unto yourself. Go bless them. Go bless your family. Well, the fact that I just show up at home is a... No, it's not. Because now you just threw a net in as opposed to nets. Dads, be all that Christ told you to be to your family. Moms, be all. Grandparents, be all that God has told you to be. Don't throw a net in, throw all the nets in. Why? Because there's gonna be an abundance, because that net is for you. The nets are to facilitate everybody. All of you is what people are looking for. Whatever happened yesterday, whatever you felt yesterday, whatever the doubts, whatever the worries, whatever the anxiousness, whatever that was yesterday, do not live today like yesterday had control over it. Forget about what happened yesterday. Forget about worries. Forget about fears. Forget about promises that people made. Forget about it. God said, I'm about to do a new thing. I've already begun it. Don't you see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in a dry wasteland. Isaiah 43:19. God's already beginning to do a new work in you And part of that new work is to open your eyes to the blessing that he has. Amen? You guys get this today? We're blessed people, everyone. We're blessed people.